or Google Play stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and justice wherever you are.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name's Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Kind of busy moving right now. Is there some holidays and I'm moving? Oh, my gosh. Moving's a, when you've been living in one place for a long time, moving can be very, very trying. Although, I'll say this. I'm enjoying it. I'm like, yay, this is a good time for me to go through a lot of stuff that I had, get rid of a lot of stuff and try to look at stuff and say, what in the world was I keeping that for? You know, start over with a lot of things. So I'm enjoying the process of moving, looking forward to living in another place. So that's, you know, fun to me. That's, what's the word I'm going to look for? I'm looking for not challenging, but, you know, a new horizon, a new challenge, a change in life. I look forward to change. You know, some people get freaked out about change and I welcome change. Life is change. That is the very definition of life. Things constantly change. Everything's constantly moving and changing, deteriorating, whatever you want to call it. But that is what makes it life. You know, if we just sat still, we'd be a rock. And even rocks change, right? You ever heard the old adage in the battle between the rock and the stream always wins. So even rock is slowly melting away at the hands of a stream. Anyway, the number is 202-588-0893. You know, something that as I watch the deterioration of the U.S. empire, right? The U.S. empire is deteriorating, as all empires deteriorate. You know, people on the inside, like a lot of Americans don't even grasp that they live in an empire, right? The idea that there's 900 bases doesn't really strike them where they're like, hey, this is not a normal country. Normal countries don't have 900 bases, right? Where people are like, I'm going to join the military and see the world. And people in America don't stop to think, well, you know what? If you're in, I don't know, Guyana, would you say, I'm going to join the Guyana military to see the world? No, you're not going to see the world. And if you join the military in Guyana, how about the Mexican military? You're not going to see the world in the Mexican military. Why are you going to see the world in the United States military? Because the United States is all over the world trying to run the world, trying to dominate the world, trying to control the world. The United States is everywhere. 900 bases. I'll put it to you like this. Those 900 bases are not there for diplomacy. You don't put a military base in countries for diplomacy. You don't need a military base for diplomacy. You know what you need a military base for? To blow things up, to kill people, to take people's stuff, to dominate people, to push people around. And you know what the U.S. is doing? We've got something called SOUTHCOM, Southern Command. That's all of our military bases down in South America and Central America. Oh, wait a minute, AFRICOM. That's the African Command. That's all our military bases in Africa. Think about this. You ride around on our roads are all bumpy and clumpy and lumpy, and you're like, man, this is stinks. You go to schools and our schools are falling apart. The kids don't have decent books. Teachers were striking last year in Chicago because they didn't even have proper books and the air conditioning and the heating wasn't working. You know what? The air conditioning and the heating's working on all those bases, but they aren't working in the schools. Oh, wait a minute. What difference does it make? You know, I forgot that I was reading the other day that where there was one school system where like 20% of the students in the school system were homeless. Now, the United States is building bases everywhere, hundreds of millions. Money is no object. Right now, I just saw something the other day where they're putting $500 million building some bases in the area of the Philippines, right? Can you imagine what would happen if they put that $500 million in here, America, home, our stuff, our communities? Not happening. You know what happens? As soon as somebody says, you know, we need to do something for American healthcare, you know what? What do we hear in Congress? Who's going to pay for it? How are we going to pay for it? But as soon as we get ready to start another war, overthrow another country, buy some more jets, fighter planes, nuclear weapons, all of the military things that an empire uses to dominate the world outside of the empire, outside of the home. See, the people here get to starve. The people here get to have bad roads. The people here get to have a deteriorating electrical grid. We get to have high homelessness. We get crime. We get all the things that we wish because all of the money is going into the empire. And Americans don't realize we're an empire. They're like, we're a country. We're not a country. If we were a country, you know what we'd do? We'd have did what China did. Why does China have high-speed rails and all these wonderful things? Why is everything new? And why? Because they took the money that they made and they spent that money in infrastructure. You know why they graduate so many STEM students and we don't? Because they put people through college and they don't charge them. The students don't have to take out these giant loans, so they put a bunch of STEM here. If you don't pay for college yourself, if you don't take out a student loan, if you don't go in debt, and the definition of debt is what? A claim on future earnings. So if you don't go in debt, you ain't going to college unless you were born wealthy so your parents can afford it. And it better be wealthy with the price of college. So, they just passed another $500 million for Ukraine. $500 million that's going to be stolen by those con artists and thieves. It's going to be stolen by the military industrial complex. It's going to be filtered through all kinds of nonprofits, the State Department, all kinds of stuff. That money's going to be stolen, ripped off, slipped off, and spent on Bugattis. That's the truth. But yet, that $500 million could go a long way in American school, but that's not the way an empire works. An empire does not work. An empire doesn't work. Why? Because what an empire is looking for is domination. And the domination is on behalf of the political class and the elite ruling class. Even when an empire works and they're able to steal all the money, they ain't sharing it with you anyway. Even when they get it, they're not sharing it with you. They're not sharing it with you now. They're not sharing it on your roads. They're not sharing it on your schools. They're not sharing America. They're like, America's a rich country. You know what that's like? In fact, I'm not going to name any names, because if I name this name, you know the name. But I once had a client once, and they were living in not all that great conditions. And I found out that this client was basically their father was a billionaire. And if I said his name, you'd all know who he was. And I'm like, holy crap, this person's the son of a billionaire? And he's living like this? I'm living far better than this guy. And his father's a billionaire, right? And I'm like, wow, that's what it's like. That's what we're like. It's like our father's a billionaire and we're living in squalor in compared to how we should be living. Trillions of dollars. But think about Afghanistan, one scam, one country, right? The U.S. goes to Afghanistan for 20 years. You know how much money was spent in Afghanistan? $2.4 trillion. And what did they get out of that again? I don't know. They got $2.4 trillion. And why? Because we have to stop the Taliban. And when we left, who's in charge? The Taliban. In other words, it was never about stopping the Taliban, right? So here's my point. I'm going to use that to go back to a tweet that stuck with me over the week, course of the week, by Glenn Greenwald. Let me read Glenn Greenwald, very smart guy. And let me read his tweet. That some Americans still believe the U.S. fights wars because it hates dictatorship and wants to spread democracy is genuinely scary. The U.S. has fought far more wars to install dictators than to remove them. The U.S. closest allies are the world's most repressive regimes, right? Okay, example, right now, the United States is doing what it does with every single war. Every war. Venezuela is every single war. What is it? Hey, America, we're going there to stop drugs. Now, how much do you have to read papers? We're going to stop fentanyl. Read the newspapers. No fentanyl's coming out of Venezuela. Oh, cocaine. Read the newspapers. It ain't coming out. Then they go blow up a boat and kill a bunch of people. Hey, what are we doing? Those are drug boats. Really? That's very interesting, because those boats, the closest shoreline between the United States and Venezuela is 1,013 miles. So I'm supposed to believe that a boat that would have to refuel about 25 times to get here is that's what drug dealers do. they're going to take a boat full of, I don't know what, fentanyl? Do you put fentanyl on a boat? That doesn't make sense. Of cocaine? I don't know. So what the drug dealer is going to do is take a boat. And they're going to load it with, I don't know, whatever drug that's supposed to be. And they're going to head for the United States shore where they got to refuel 26 times. Well, that's absurd. Why is it? Because the whole thing is a lie. I think any reasonable person now understands they're not. Venezuela has more oil than any other country in the world. The United States is not trying to overthrow them. The United States just seized an oil tanker off the coast of Venezuela. I have a question. If we are there to stop drugs, why would we seize an oil tanker? Not a drug tanker, an oil tanker. It's not logical to think that, oh, we're there to stop drugs. What are you going to do? Well, let's start by the oil, seize an oil tanker. Doesn't it kind of seem like maybe we're there to take the oil? I'll put it to you like this. I'm with Greenwald. If anybody at this point in this country still believes that the United States is fighting for, we've got to stop a dictator anywhere on this earth, anywhere. Let me go further. I don't care what war the United States is involved in, is funding, is providing arms for, what proxy war. I don't care what it is. If the United States is involved in a war and you think it's for some kind of philanthropic reasons, if you think it's like, well, we'd like to stand up for the little guy. Oh, we want to do that to stop a dictator. Oh, we want to bring democracy. There's a word I'm looking for, but the word's not stupid. I'll tell you why. Because I know people who are academics, I know people who are brilliant people, who are very, very well educated, who will come today and say right now, oh, well, we're in Ukraine because Putin's a dictator and we're standing up for democracy in Ukraine. And I just think to myself, based on the history of, if you hadn't even researched it to a level that I've researched it, which you probably haven't, and you just looked at it on its face and you said, based on the U.S.'s history, should I believe that? Well, clearly the answer is no. Clearly the answer would be absurd. It's preposterous to believe that. I mean, like if you just turn on the news, the people who told you there was weapons of mass destruction or whatever, okay, fair enough. If you're just going to believe what you're watching on MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, then yeah, maybe you'd believe it. But even then, I have to look for that word that I'm trying to find, that word that's not stupid. The word is not stupid. Stupid implies that a lack of intellect. Stupid implies that you don't have the intellectual capability. To say somebody's stupid implies that they don't have that computing power in their frontal lobe, right? That they're not very smart, so they can't figure it out. This is something far different. Because somebody's smart enough. These are people who are very smart. But for some reason, no matter how many times the United States government overthrows governments and installs brutal dictators, overthrows elected governments, lies to the American people about why, every single time, no matter how many times they do that, which is every time, there's a certain thing where certain people say, I just don't want to believe that this time. This time, I think they're finally not. Okay, fair enough. They lied all the other times. But you know, for some reason, I just got an inkling that this time they're telling me the truth. And if you listen to my show, you know what I usually say? 5 years. It's a 5 year, the 5 year plan. Generally, 5 years after the war starts, people say, you know, Garland, maybe there was no weapons of mass destruction. Maybe, evidence is coming out that they were lying to us the whole time. You think, Afghanistan, you know, Garland, perhaps they weren't there to stop Osama bin Laden or something like that. Perhaps the whole time it was a scam. And maybe when the Afghan papers came out in 2012, look it up. The Afghan papers came out in 2012. Just search it, look it up. And the Afghan papers, what we found was that a bunch of generals and high-ranking military people said, yeah, we can't win this and we know it. They told us, and they still didn't leave for another 10 years. They told us in 2012 that high-ranking military people were like, you know what, we can't win this. It's all. But they still stayed there another 10 years. Why? Because they had to get that money for another 10 years. So even in, look up the Afghan papers, you don't believe me. There's the evidence comes out. Hey, it's all a scam. They stayed there another 10 years. And they continued to say to the American people, we can't leave because if we do, it'll be a hotbed of terrorism. Al-Qaeda will come back and they'll blow up our buildings again. Americans were like, oh, okay. 10 years later, they left. Oh, well, oh, man, we've been there how long? 20 years? Yeah, we're out. Oh, what about all that business about the terrorism? Yeah, well, that was whatever. Bye, we're gone. That was it. Now, keep in mind something. If you've been listening to this show, you know I've said this before. You've heard me. I said, the day will come. You might recall this. I use this term. I said, let me tell you how Ukraine is going to end. They're going to exercise, but stop me if you've heard this. I use this term, the Samsonite option. That's what the U.S. does. It goes in, money is stolen everywhere, and at some point, the United States packs its bags and walks away. When the war is lost, let me ask you this. What happened in Vietnam? In Vietnam, the exact same thing. The United States was negotiating with the North Vietnamese, and the South Vietnamese government was like, no way, don't do that. The U.S. was like negotiating with them anyway. Same thing. And then guess what happened? U.S. packed their bags and left. We're out. We're gone. Adios. See ya. Okay? This is just the way it works. So now, the Samsonite option will be exercised. Here's what they're going to say. Oh, we can't stand there because Putin's an evil dictator. And once he gets... I had a guy, a brother called me. I felt sorry for him. I know he meant well. Poor guy. And he says, what makes you think, Garland, that if Putin... Because if you're completely brainwashed in America, when you're completely brainwashed, this is the sign that a person is completely brainwashed. You ready? You never say the word of the country that the United States CIA has their crosshairs on. You never name the country. You then take a leader of a country and you call him a dictator and you only say the name of the quote dictator. So you don't say Venezuela, right? No, because that's a country. There's millions of people there. We must stop the evil Maduro. You never say Syria, Assad, Assad, Assad. You never ever say Russia, Putin, this, Putin, that, Putin, that. The scam that they run. And you can tell when people are thoroughly brainwashed, when they forget that it's even a country. And they pretend that this so-called dictator that they have created, that they have been had created in their mind, that if this guy just dropped dead, the country would just roll over and do what America wants because it's just a dictator. The people, they're not listening to a dictator. It's pathetic. They run the same scam over and over and over, and the suckers bite the hook every time. And now what? For the last several years, what did they say? Well, we must stop the Russian evil, Russian-y Russians, because Putin will attack the rest of Europe and kill them all. Now, there was a little bit of a contradiction. Because here's what they also said. The Russian army is weak. It's inept. It can't do anything. It's going to lose to the Ukrainians. The valiant Ukrainians will destroy, and they're going to use United States weapons and United States money. But the United States is not involved. Certainly not. But it's going to use our money and our weapons and all the weapons of NATO and all the money of NATO, and it will destroy the weak, pathetic, ridiculous Russian army. And then after that, but you better watch it, because the Russian army, they can't defeat the Ukrainians because they're so weak, will then attack the rest of NATO and take the whole country. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I thought they were so weak they couldn't do anything. But they're also going to attack NATO and kill everybody. And now, what is the U.S. government saying? We want out. You know why they want out? Because the war is lost. It was always going to be lost. There was never a chance that Ukraine was going to win. Not a chance. Nothing happening. Not going to happen. You know, I've been consistently saying that. There are people, I think Ukraine has a chance. Oh, yeah, you think Hitler had a chance? You think Napoleon had a chance? Charles XII? Nobody had a chance. You invade Russia, you're going to lose. There's a saying in geopolitical world, don't bluff Beijing, don't march on Moscow. If you go fight in a ground war with the Russians, you're going to lose. And the Ukrainians are going to get smashed to smithereens. And they were always going to be smashed to smithereens. And the scam... was, we must stop them, because if the Russians take Ukraine, then off they go to the rest of Europe. And now what's the U.S. government saying? You know what? Oh, and oh, by the way, I predicted this. You can go back to my shows and find out. And people that listen to my shows know I said this. I don't care if you think I'm blowing my own horn. It was easy. I'm not blowing my own horn. You know why? Because this didn't take Nostradamus to figure out. Here's what I said. You know, in the same way that the United States is just brainwashing everybody, saying, well, you know, the Russians are bad, evil, terrible, terrible, evil, mean, evil. I said, they can just as easy wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? The Russians are good. I like them. They're all nice. They're wonderful. They're our friends. And a certain bunch of Americans will say, oh, they are evil. They are terrible. When the government says, no, they're our friends, they'll go, oh, they are our friends now. Because your brain is just washed. You're just waiting. You're like a leaf in the wind, brother. Not you, but I'm just using that in a general sense. Because Americans are like a leaf in the wind, waiting for the government to tell them who to hate and waiting for the government to tell them who's the like. Who's a dictator? Now, one thing I can tell you about a dictator, their country is always going to have a lot of oil. That's a given. They're a dictator. They got a lot of oil most of the time. That's the definition of a dictator. Lots of oil. And they won't give it to us. That means they're a dictator. But at any rate, oh, we got a call? Okay, I'll say one last thing. So here we sit. Now, finally, you know what the U.S.'s government is saying? Russia's not evil and Russia's not our friend. We need to do business with Russia. Exactly as I predicted. And they will. And the United States will drop Europe like a head. You know why? Because Europe ain't got nothing to offer them, and Russia does. It was never about Russia being evil or good, or Europe being evil or good. Europe is going broke. They are impoverished, and they're stupid, and they're going broke. And Russia's got lots of money. And they got lots of oil and lots of gas and lots of timber. They got nickel. They got copper. They got wheat. They got all of the things. And the U.S. is like, man, Russians loaded, man. We trying to eat, cuz they got all kinds of things we can make money of. You know, come to think of it, perhaps the Russians aren't so bad after all. Maybe, just maybe, they won't attack Europe. And what do? They will now get on the air and say to you, the Russians aren't going to attack Europe now. I think we can do business. They were never going to attack Europe. It was a brainwashing session. So all I'm saying is, now that you've seen this, now that you've been had and took over and over and over and over again, perhaps with Venezuela, you can say, you know, I think maybe this time it's not about drugs. Maybe this time they're fooling me. Maybe they're not telling me the truth this time. Maybe you think we could try that for one time? Since you've bitten the hook so many times, could we just try one war where you don't have to say, I believe the lie up front? And then when I find out I've been had, 5 years later, look back and say, you know, I think they were lying to me about Ukraine the whole time. Can we do this with Venezuela where you don't have to say, yes, they're going in to stop fentanyl? And then 5 years later go, you know, I think that was about oil. That's a possibility. I'm just throwing that out there. That's a hope. Maybe some people call me, Garland, you're wrong. They really are standing up against democracy in Ukraine. Yeah, it's just wonderful. Anyway, 202-588-0893. We've got open lines. First caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
What's going on, Garland? It's Max calling from Maryland.
Brother Max, I love you, Max. I love you. You're a good man, Max. Can I ask you one question before I let you go and say what you want to say?
Yeah.
Do you still believe that the United States is in Ukraine to stand up for democracy?
I mean, I think it's geopolitical. I do. Like, I think I thought the whole time it was geopolitical, even though we were assisting them. But I still think that, I'm just going to be calm about it. I'm not going to get mad. I still think, though, that if Kamala was president, we'd probably still be at war with them. I feel like you agree with me on that, too, that we would be like, it would be like probably more like it would be in a more volatile situation. Whereas with Trump, that's probably the only reason we're backing off from Ukraine, Russia.
Yeah, I felt all along that we would probably end up in a nuclear war and all die because she wouldn't back down. And if the United States and Russia would go to war, there's no question it would end up in a nuclear war and we'd all die. So that was my feelings. But we're all guessing. This is speculation. We don't know. Anyway, what'd you call about, my friend? I'm glad to hear from you.
I don't think she would have put like U.S. boots on the ground. I think we would have just kept assisting, just giving Ukraine, like, you know, because I know there were like specific satellites, like the Neuralink, I think, or something with, but Elon cut them off shortly after Trump became president. I think if there would have been a Democrat in office, right, instead of a Republican, I think, like, you know, the United States would have kept like hitting a lot of Russia's kind of like facilities that they were hitting on the outskirts. A lot of Russian troops were dying too, even though a lot of Ukrainians were dying. So, I think like it substantially helped Putin that,
Can we say Russia instead of Putin?
Yeah, we can say Russia. That's fine. Because
the truth is this, if Vladimir Putin dropped dead tomorrow, the policies of Russia wouldn't change.
I think the Russian people are decent people. I'm not against the Russian people by any means. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even though I'm not a fan of Putin, I'm not against the Russian people. I'm for the world. There's just a lot of corrupt governments in the world, not necessarily the people. But to the Venezuela thing, that's what I want to talk to you about.
Sure, go ahead.
So with Venezuela, right? If we go to war with Venezuela, remember Trump invoked the Enemy Aliens Act a few months ago, but it got severely limited by the Supreme Court because there really wasn't much reach. Like just saying, oh, we're at war with Trinidad and Aragua, like, you know, so you can just deport all these people without due process or put them in all these internment camps, wasn't really flying. I think the real reason, combined with wanting oil and resources too, that Trump wants this war, right? And even we'll say the state wants the war, but I think just like where Trump and Stephen Miller are going to add like a sprinkle kind of their own taste to it, right? The whole Bannon Miller movement. The Enemy Aliens Act states if we're at war with another country, anyone from not just undocumented immigrants, even like green cards, if they're not naturalized citizens, essentially a Colombian green card holder, a Venezuelan green card holder could be put in internment camps like in Japan.
Yeah, but there's like one quick thing that I have to throw at it, though. But the law says at war, right? But only Congress can declare war, because we haven't been in a declared war since World War II, number one. Number two, we can't really go to war with Venezuela. I mean, the United States could fly over and drop some bombs or something like that. But we got 16,000 troops. We can't put 16,000 troops on the ground of a country the size of France and Germany combined. I mean, that's three times the size of Vietnam. We put 500,000 troops in Vietnam and they ran us out of that country. So can we put 16,000 troops on the ground? And so we can't really go to war with Venezuela. All we could do is throw some missiles over, maybe fly over and drop some bombs. But we couldn't technically go to war with 16,000 troops. That's the other part of it, Max.
So you're saying that that's all that's probably going to happen. We're just going to probably just hit them with drones and probably just drop a lot of bombs on them, but we won't put.
I don't think we're going to do that. I don't think the U.S. is going to attack. But now, I could be wrong, but I've been saying for months, I don't think the U.S. is going to attack Venezuela, because what could they do? Okay, let's say we throw some bombs at them. We throw some long-range missiles at them. Then what? You know what I mean? In order to really take the country, you have to put troops on the ground. But the United States does not have the kind of army that can do that. With 16,000 troops, ain't going to get it done, my friend.
That's the only amount of troops that the United States has in infantry right now, 16,000?
That's the only thing we could really muster for that region. If you think about it, the United States has troops in Africa. They have troops all over Asia. They have, 100,000 troops in Europe. See, being an empire, our troops are spread all over the world. So the only really amount we could muster was about 16,000 troops. So what are we going to take every troop from all corners of the world and send them to Venezuela? I don't think that's going to happen. And you're going to fight in the jungles of Venezuela? Troop body bags going to be coming home. You're going to put them in the ground. Venezuela has two things, jungles and mountains covered with jungles. I've been there. You do not, with poisonous snakes all over the place. I don't think that the American people would tolerate that, do you?
Well, so yeah, I don't think that people would be. I'm just saying, you don't think Trump is possibly crazy? I mean, we've seen how he speaks of soldiers. I could see him be willing to do it to achieve his goal. Unless maybe because like Russia and Venezuela have a lot of ties, and like you said, we're going to be doing business with Russia. Maybe Trump and Putin broker a deal with Venezuela for better oil trade, you know? So maybe. maybe that's but, the alternative.
I mean, even then, I mean, it's not even an option. 16,000 troops in a country that you could take a small town and you couldn't hold it. 16,000 troops. You know what I mean? In a country that size.
You think they're going to just like probably broker a deal then, I guess, because Russia and Venezuela have decent relations right now?
I don't even know that he can broker a deal. I don't know what he can do, but he's been sitting there. But, you know, the U.S. government has been sitting off the coast, harassing them, lying to the American people about why is that they lie to us about every war. So now the lie is drugs. Before it was weapons of mass destruction. Sometimes it's democracy. They always have a different lie, but it's always a lie. At this point, but we got to get ready to go. We got other callers, but you get the last word. Your thoughts.
So I guess my last word, just one specific thing. Do you think, right, like with the current amount of undocumented immigrants living in America, right, since a lot of them are acclimated and living here, do you think in a world that the U.S. should consider some policy, right, not like citizenship or green card status, but some policy that would allow people who have lived here illegally 10 years or longer, but they haven't committed any crimes other than being here unlawfully, to adjust and have like a legal status? Do you think that would be a good thing for our country to do that?
Absolutely. But I don't think that the political class and the ruling elite want to do that, because I think they deliberately want a class of undocumented people because they take advantage of them, because they have them work on these fruit farms. And they literally have them work on these farms. They'll take all of their paperwork and everything, and they'll pay them next to nothing and say, well, if you say anything, then I'll turn you into the ICE. So all these rich folks, you go to these rich communities and they got undocumented people cutting their grass and taking care of their kids. I think they deliberately want a class of people who are completely powerless that they can pay next to nothing. If they were to allow them to be here legally, guess what? They would have to pay them above the table. They'd have to pay them regular prices. They'd have to pay Social Security and all that kind of stuff. So I think the ruling elite and this political class wants these people here, and they're going to throw some of them out just enough to scare the rest of them. And so they can pretend to the MAGA people or whoever wants that to happen, they can pretend that they're doing something, but they ain't going to throw many of them out. In fact, if you remember, about 3 months in, Trump said, well, you know, you might remember this. He said, well, you know, I've been contacted by certain business people who said that they need these people, so we're only going to send certain ones out. Well, I already knew that. It's all a fraud, man. But they want these people so they can take advantage of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Some of that is.
Yep. All right, man. Thanks a lot. Certainly appreciate the call. Another great call. All right. Next call. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, David Kensington.
All right. What's happening? My main man from Kensington.
You're talking about an eminence front, which is always a put on. But how are our tax dollars spent? See, we collect all these tax dollars and they fund what? All of our... needs or is some
not other really if you think about it see, if you think about it our tax see, dollars tax are not really what funds
what do they
things.
Serve
that's a good question, because really, like, for instance, all of this stuff that they're doing is deficit spending, right? They just create money out of thin air. That's what a deficit, you know what I mean? It's not, if they collected $10 in tax dollars and spent $10, yeah, you could say that. They collect $10 in tax dollars and then spend $150,000 that they just created out of thin air.
So could I say, if you were the French government and you were a Napoleonistic colonist, then you could go to Haiti and try to spend a bunch of money trying to conquer that country and get beaten by a bunch of slaves, and now they owe you money in taxes for the next 100 years, even though, like, you couldn't exploit their land? Like, explain that, though.
That's exactly what happened. Well, of course, the French were doing that and still are doing it all over what's called Francophone Africa.
South Africa,
and New Caledonia. Yeah, so that's colonialism, my friend. That's colonialism.
So what about the entire Sahel region of Africa? All the taxes that they get to pay gets to generate towards their own economy or to some Euro-African rank? You know what I mean?
Now that a lot of them are breaking free from France, they're spending their own money. But thanks a lot. Certainly appreciate the call. Got a couple more callers. Next caller. All right, next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yeah, what's up, brother? Before I get
into
my rapid ravens, Before I get into my rapping and raving, I just want to say shame on of all the blacks who work in the who works in Trump cabinet at the White House for not standing up to the president when he said that all of these that the national parks on all the holidays will be free except for the two black holidays, MLK Day and Juneteenth. That's an insult to all the black people who did vote for him to even be in the White House. And, you know, and for the blacks to stand there and put up with this nonsense and not stand up to Trump and the white conservatives that's in the White House. I mean, they act like they're so damn afraid of what their white donor class is going to think about them if they stood up to him. Again, he just spit in the face of all those black voters who voted for him in the White House. And I know he's not going to apologize for that. But I blame the blacks who work on his cabinet more than I do Trump, because they should, because they got the ears of the president right now. They should have told him, well, you know, Mr. President, we got the upcoming midterm elections that's coming up right now. You might not want to do that because you're going to offend those black men, especially those young black brothers that did vote for him and got a lot of heat for the mainstream news media for voting for them. And, you know, a lot of them voted for Trump, not because they believed in the wisdom of the Republican Party. It was just a protest vote against the Democrats have gone plain crazy over the past few years. That was that about. But to spit in the face of black America like that, and again, I just don't see how any black person, any right mind, would support anything that that the Republicans want to do right now, and it's constant disrespect of the black culture. You know, it's like right now, you know, we in one of the black holidays of Kwanzaa. You know, you're not going to say anything about that. Conservative radio, I mean, they was blasting Kwanzaa last year. And I'm looking at, okay, well, the black conservatives or the black guest hosts, that host with these conservatives, step back, said nothing because they so worried about what white people going to think about them. And, you know, it's just this sad thing of black people that are in positions, in powerful positions, and they still act like they're so terrified of what their white donor class is going to say about them if they stand up for their own people. This is why black people are disrespected right now. I just think it's pathetic.
Yeah, well, I think that the reality is that, you know, if you want to rise in this system, you got to go with the flow of whatever your masters say or you won't rise in the system. I think before you even make that decision to say, hey, I'm going to go up, you got to make the decision beforehand that whatever I'm told to do or whatever disrespect I have to take, I'm going to take it because that, you know, I've chosen to go up in this crooked system. You know me, I'm a third party, third force, third whatever you want. So, you know, when I look at the heavy anti-black sentiment in some parts of the Republican Party, and that particularly the part that Trump leads,
Democrats too. It's both parties. It's the Democrats too.
Oh, because well, yes.
The blacks in the Democrat Party, they do the same damn thing. Whatever their white counterparts want to do, they go along with it. You know, especially when it comes to this man can become a female. Everybody know that's nonsense. But they go along with it just so they won't lose a cozy position with white people. The white donor class to them is way more important than they help the achievement of black America. And I'm just saying it's pathetic on both sides. Both sides.
Yeah, I agree.
If you got the ears of a president, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, or independent, you got the ears of the president. You got the ears of whatever powerful position you don't use in. If you're not using your power, your position, you're disrespecting the black race. That's why our people is not respected right now, especially in this country, because of these pathetic hypocrites that we got supposed to be our black representation in Congress, in the black caucus. Y'all all pathetic and y'all hypocrites. Hey, I got to get on, man. There's a lot of things I can say. Peace, brother.
Thank you for calling. Well, I think there's two things. Number one, I think that there's, unfortunately, black folks who align with the Republican Party who completely ignore that there's a very powerful anti-black sentiment there. And a person can be a conservative. They can vote for anybody they want. I believe in people's right to do what they choose. But you can't ignore that inner Republican Party. Not every Republican, not all Republicans, but I'm just saying you can't ignore that there's a strain of an anti-Black sentiment there and that Trump is a part of that. And when it comes to the Democratic Party, the complaint I have when it comes to anti-Blackness more than anything else is that the Democrats are always voting for money to go to every war, to go to all of this crap. But what they won't do, every time they're like, let's send another $60 billion to Ukraine, $20 billion to Israel, $20 billion to Taiwan, that the Black people in the Democratic Party won't say, whoa. What about the $50 billion for the Black community? They just happily vote for all of this money to go to all of these foreign wars, and they will never stop and say, well, no, I'm not voting for that because my community is suffering and struggling, and we need to invest in our community. They just keep their mouths shut and put up a Ukraine flag or Israel flag or Taiwan flag, and they go right along with their counterparts, and they don't stick up for their own community, and not a dime comes back to us. So, you know, that's why I'm a third party, third force, whatever you want to call it, person, because for any number of reasons, mostly foreign policy, but when it comes to the issue of race, you know, you get one party that can be openly anti-Black and another party that tells Black folks how much they love them. But when it comes to bringing home the bacon, they bring home Nathan. Anyway, next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Is that me?
Next caller, you still there?
Is that me?
Yes, it is.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Robert Andrew Moses. I'm a political scientist, and I'm calling on progressive people, anarchists, democratic-minded people, communists, socialists, everybody to unite against this fascist pig that we are faced with. And we have to deal with him just like Fidel and Che Guevara dealt with the pig that they face. And I think, you know, we got to wake up and smell the coffee. Thank you.
I have a question for you. I have a question. You still there? I have a question for you. You know, here's my only thing. And I understand what you're saying. I think of fascism as a system, not as a person. So notwithstanding my distaste for Donald Trump, and I have strong distaste for him, I feel like the United States is moving in a fascist direction. And so that if we just say Trump, it kind of implies that, well, if only Trump was gone, everything would be just fine. When I've watched the U.S. do terrible things, commit genocides, you know, like, for instance, Biden was involved in a genocide. In comes Trump, and Trump's involved in a genocide. You know, we've slaughtered people, invaded countries, do all these terrible things. And now, all of a sudden, when Trump is there, now we finally figure out that there's fascism, as if all these terrible things we did weren't fascism. Your thoughts?
There was a process of getting to know Hitler. You know, there was a process of getting to know him. But, you know, we know who Trump is, and you know, we got to deal with it like we know what we're doing.
Do you think that our system is going in a fascist direction, or that it's just Trump and all we got to do is get rid of Trump and things will be great again?
Well, that's the question. Was get rid of Hitler, was that all we needed to do? No, but that was key to the whole problem. It's a cult of personality.
You know, so let me throw another thing at you. I've made this point. Trump did not come into American politics. Trump came out of American politics. That when American politics drops to the point that it is now, it is inevitable that something like Trump will come out. And if Trump goes away, something worse will come out, because the politics of America have dropped to a point where it only makes sense that something like Trump would be here. The American politics are absurd to me. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, there can be a reason. I mean, I'm a political scientist. Obviously, Hitler, there was a reason for the rise of Hitler. But the fact is, we need to get rid of Hitler and deal with anybody who was like him. And we have to start at the top, and that's Trump.
So what do you think would happen if, let me ask you this then. J.D. Vance is the vice president. If Donald Trump if suddenly we turned on the news and they said Donald Trump just dropped dead of a heart attack and J.D. Vance is now the president, right? Well, Trump is gone. Do you think we'd be a lot better off?
A lot better off. I don't know how a lot better off, but we definitely would be better off. Definitely no question in my mind about that.
Okay. Well, you got a right to that. Okay. Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate the call. And, you know, I understand it. Thank you very much.
I love you, dude. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. You know, and everybody looks at things differently, and I like to give everybody opportunity to take their position. And I never belittle people. I don't like to belittle people that disagree with me for this reason, because I've been wrong. And I think it is my duty as a show host to entertain every not just as a show host. I consider myself an intellectual, not because I'm smart. I consider myself an intellectual because of the way that I get to where I'm getting, and that is taking as much information as I can, try not to use my biases and recognize that they're there, taking as much as information as I can, research the history of things, research things and try to say what is it, and try to look at the big picture as well. And a big part of that is allowing people that you don't agree with to have their say and have them as part of the conversation. And I certainly understand how people feel about Trump. Look, I ain't no fan of Trump. When you say, does Trump have authoritarian and fascist tendencies? Absolutely. The only thing I would argue is this, is that our system has devolved to a point where that's the kind of person that is bound to pop up. You know, it's like this. If you want to grow roses, you need a particular kind of soil, right? If you know people that grow roses or weed, whatever they grow, right? They'll tell you, well, the soil has to be here. The acidity has to be there. You got to have this much moisture, not too much moisture. And you need the proper environment for this particular plant to grow. That's the way I feel about Trump. The environment has dropped to the point where the only natural thing to grow out of this is Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump drops dead tomorrow, the soil is there to grow that type of thing, sadly. I think we are... Our country is falling apart and devolving into something much worse than it was, and that the empire is collapsing, just like the Ottoman Empire and the Greco-Roman Empire and on, and that Americans are sitting in the middle of an empire collapsing, and they can't see that the empire is collapsing. The only thing they can say is, there's a bad man over there, and that bad man is messing up everything that's so good. I'm sorry, my friends, it ain't a bad man. I ain't saying he ain't a bad man. I'm saying that ain't your problem. That's like, oh, I got a headache, and oh, if that headache would go away, I know, I'll take Excedrin, but you got a brain tumor. The Excedrin is going to mask the headache, but you got a brain tumor. The United States has a brain tumor. The United States is in very, very serious trouble economically. The United States is in deep and serious trouble economically. Philosophically is in deep and serious trouble, but we just think it's one bad guy. He's a bad guy. And if we get rid of bad guy, everything's wonderful. We shall see, because that bad guy ain't going to be around forever. All right, next call, you on air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
This is Beno from Southeast Washington, D.C., if I'm next. Can you hear me?
You are. And make sure if you got that radio on in the background or something, you turn it down, because we'll hear our voices and it'll throw us on. Go ahead, my main man. What's happening? I'm all ears.
Okay. Listen, I just wanted to state, and first of all, I'm glad to, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to say, this idiot in the White House, he has plans, but guess what? At the end of the day, God has plans too. And God is sitting back just letting him destroy him. He's given him enough rope to hang himself. As you just stated earlier, Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, they can all see it. America's on its way down, just like a brick thrown in the swimming pool. She's heading straight for the bottom fast. And it's like nobody sees it, or they don't want to see it, or they don't care. But he's letting him, Allah's letting him destroy himself. So that's all I got to say, and stay tuned, because the party continues.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. 202-588-0893. We have another caller? No? Well, okay, next caller. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, David, Fort Washington.
What's happening, David?
All right, how you doing, sir?
Fantastic. What do you have to say on this beautiful wintry night?
I agree with you as far as the system. It's the system that needs to be changed. It doesn't matter who is running the system. And that production of Donald Trump is part of the system that produced him. Vance is way worse than Donald Trump. Donald Trump has no control over anything that's going on. He's just the one that they could put out front because he has no problem showing that he is who he is. And that's why you have all of these people coming out of the woodwork supporting him, because they agree with him 100%, and they would rather go harm themselves just so others that they feel are below them are harmed worse.
Well, you know, I think, you know, what's interesting about America is this idea that our ruling elite has, that America should run the world. Oh, China, what are they doing in the South China Sea? Well, wait a minute. What right do we have to tell China what to do in the South China Sea? What right do we have Russia to tell what Russia to do in the Black Sea? What right do we have to tell Iran what to do I'm having a brain cramp, not the Red Sea. The Red Sea is the other side where Yemen is. But you know what I mean? The Gulf of whatever it is. But the bottom line is this. Mm-hmm. So the United States has fallen apart. Yet the United States seems to think we can tell everybody all over the world what they ought to do in their region. And we ain't even able to take care of home. We're not able to feed, clothe. Our people are homeless. And the United States is telling China what they should do in the South China Sea while we got homeless people freezing and sleeping on the street at home.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, it's basically because certain people in the United States, the ones who were sent here, if you do your history, and they are salty and they feel as though that they need to control everything, not only here, but elsewhere. Mm-hmm. When they're talking mm-hmm. about other countries, what are they doing over there? Well, they're protecting their interests. And when you come over there and disrupt what they have in harmony, then of course you're going to see somebody stepping out there and creating defenses. We are the only one that have bases in all of these countries. We're only as strong as the people who we conquer to set up bases so we can somewhat control certain regions to make us feel as though we are doing something in the form of protection of the United States. If you want to protect the United States, take care of the United States people mm-hmm. and stay your behind home and allow us to flourish. And if somebody comes to disrupt that, that's when you have your war machine generate. Not.
And you know what? Here's an actual truth. The United States has a geographical advantage. It has been said by geopolitical analysts, the United States has insignificant powers to the east. U.S. has insignificant powers to the north and south and fish to the east and west. Ain't nobody coming over here to attack the United States. They have to make something up. They got to say North Korea, Iraq, Libya, China, Russia, Iran, Venezuela. They got to make up that all of these countries all in all parts of the world are threatening us, when the truth is this: ain't nobody threatening us. The only thing threatening us Correct. Is us.
That's right. And now they've changed the name to the Department of War, so that lets you know the mentality of the individuals running the country. When it used to be Department of Defense, which they weren't following that term.
I was getting ready to say, at least they're honest now.
At least they're honest now.
They were always starting wars, overthrowing countries, attacking, murdering innocent That's people, right. and they called it the Department of Defense. I think it's more honest now than it was before, sadly.
That's right.
All right, well, thank you very much. I see my main man. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. My main man, Kalia, giving me the high sign. So, and besides, I like to hear some house music anyway. So thanks, Kalia. Kalia does a fantastic job on here, and I certainly appreciate him. Appreciate him making the show happen. And he doesn't just answer the phones. He actually handles all of the technical stuff. He's in the booth doing all of the stuff that, you know, you have to be highly educated and technically able to do. So thanks very much to Kalia. Thank all of you. Hey, let me give you my email address, GarlandN. That's my first name and the first letter of my last name at gmail.com. Feel free to email me. Thanks to WPFW. And follow me online, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Telegram, all that kind of stuff. And now for some house music. I'm out.